Hey there, it's Dave Fitzgerald, the author of Jesus, Mything in Action, and you are listening to The Canadian Atheist.
The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully.
Welcome to The CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA records each Sunday live from Apostasy Studios. For more, please visit our Facebook page for the latest news, updates, and previews on some upcoming shows. You can email us at theca@rogers.com, and if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, hello and welcome to the CA. Today is Monday, September 18th. I'm the person that used to be Michael.
And I am Dean.
Holy fuck, bro, I'm so fucking tired.
You should be.
Yeah. So I'm operating on 3 hours and 25 minutes of sleep. So that's fun. But it was for a good cause.
Yes.
It was for the cause of, well, it was for a celebration.
Yes, of science and reason.
Of science and reason. What'd you think about that? Okay, so I'll just tell people who don't know. I posted something on Facebook, but Dean and I went to a celebration of science and reason last night at the Sony Center in downtown Toronto. And it was a conversation with Sam Harris, Sarah Hayter, and kind of moderated.
Yeah, sort of.
By David Smalley, host of Dogma Debate.
He kind of just posed some questions and had them discuss and then interjected with his own.
Yeah, and he tossed in his 2 cents worth on almost everything. But yeah, it was, you know, asking the questions and stuff like that. And it's funny, I tweeted at Dave this afternoon. Because he was like, oh, you know, it's like, who was listening, stuff like that. And I said, the CA was there.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and we did give a shit about you. Remember, he said at the beginning, he's like, okay, I'm going to pretend that any of you give a shit that I'm the one that's here.
Yeah.
And he got a laugh. And I mean, but yeah, I mean, he's a very big name in the community. And
he's a very successful podcaster.
And it was good. I think he did a good job. I don't know how many of those he's done. I don't think he popped his cherry last night with that, but I don't know that he's done a bunch of them.
Yeah. I mean, he could have, I think maybe he would have mentioned it, or it would have said something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and many thanks to, I want to toss out thanks again to Jonah and Travis from Pangburn Philosophy. They took care of us last night, which was really good. It was, and the little musical.
Again,
that was interesting.
It opened up the show,
and you know, I was so kind of frazzled at getting in there that I'm gonna have to look the guy because I can't remember the guy's name.
No,
fucking rock. He was really good on the guitar.
Yeah,
he was amazing. Guitar
he knew how to play it, and he had that little foot pedal thing that allows you to loop the tracks. Yeah.
So no, that was really good, but I don't know if it's gonna be available for like digital consumption.
I noticed that the one that we went to before with Matt Dillahunty and
Dr. Krause,
thank you. Apologies there. It's on YouTube, the entire thing.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And we're on YouTube.
How did we get on YouTube?
Because I sent it to you. Because at the beginning, they're walking around with the camera and we're in the background there.
That's right. Yeah.
Waiting to talk to Krause and Matt.
That's right. Our little claim to fame.
We're famous on the internet.
We're famous on the internet, motherfuckers. So, okay. So we got, I tweeted about this. I threw it on Facebook earlier, I guess, over the weekend, that we got a good amount of Canadian content.
Yay, Canadian content.
In our news today. But I want to get to one of the things that we didn't get to last week, because I talk too much.
You know.
Yes. I am, let's see. I am superfluously verbose.
There you go.
Say that.
Add a few more syllables in there.
Exactly. Say that three times fast.
Pontificate as you may.
Exactly. Okay. So here's a question. Dean,
mm-hmm.
Should Christians keep advising a president they disagree with? Now, this is from Kate Shelnut. I'm not making that up. And I don't know where it's from. But, yeah, I'm
so, you're so tired.
Where's this from? The internet. It's from the web of place. Okay, so with each controversial decision or remark, President Trump, I hate saying that, makes his evangelical advisors come up against mounting pressure to resign and cut their ties. While Trump pledged to end DACA during his campaign, and which is, I think, pretty much done now and is like pending, whatever it's got
to
go through.
He's sending children back to their countries of origin. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. President Samuel Rodriguez of the NHCLC, which stands for, I had to look this up, but it's funny because I typed in just in a Google search engine, NHC, and then it just populated like bloop, top hit. The National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like SHIELD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they've spent a month lobbying to protect for the sake of family and unity and all this other stuff. And it's funny. So here's an example of Hispanic evangelicals that are, and basically Trump's just shitting all over them. Doesn't give a fuck.
Well, of course. He doesn't give a fuck about anybody but himself.
Yeah. But they're not withdrawing support. And here's the quote from Mr. Rodriguez. In our eyes, access to the chief executive and the opportunity to influence him on political matters important to the church is worth it, even if the decision doesn't turn out the way we want it.
And so, how is it? So well, I guess they're hoping to hit more than they miss.
Maybe, but it's like being in his face, you know, with I guess a Bible and a crucifix is so important. And like, well, I guess one, if you're hunting vampires, or two, if you're trying to
the power of Christ compels you.
Exactly. If you're trying to influence Trump in some way. So
the only thing that influences him is the almighty dollar. I don't think he cares.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what several advisors themselves have said why they remain involved. Okay? I never considered abandoning Trump and his administration for a single second, said Johnny Moore, a Trump advisor. You only make a difference if you have a seat at the table. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah,
statement.
That's
pretty,
true.
But that's pretty weak sauce. Like, I mean, it's like, yes, you're right. Thank you for the platitude.
You can't win the lottery unless you buy a ticket.
Exactly. Thank you for the platitude. We've provided consequential feedback on policy and personal decisions, particularly affecting religious liberty, judges, the right to life, and foreign policy. I don't think they're doing anything with foreign policy.
But what happened to separation of church and state? Why is this guy even in the fucking White House?
Johnson Amendment, bye-bye. Because like this is the kind of stuff. So, and it's funny. So we were chatting about this before. And, you know, it's like, was it so important? You know, so the Republicans are like, man, Trump, he's a fucking whack job. But the rank-and-file Republicans, they're going to vote for him anyway, right? And they're like, because better that than a Democrat. And I wonder how many, I wonder what kind of conversations happened. I wonder how it played out. Because in my mind, my thoughts were kind of confirmed, or not confirmed, but I guess I was convinced that I wasn't having crazy thoughts when I started hearing other people talk about stuff like, well, look, yes, he's a fucking whack job, but we're going to have Pence there to kind of reel him in a little bit, and we have to have a Republican in because we're going to have a judge, we're going to have a SCOTUS appointment, maybe two, and we can't let that go Democrat.
Well, so, even when they fought so hard to stop Obama from naming a judge before he left office.
Yeah. 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 We've had every opportunity to express our point of view Yet we are not responsible for whether or not we make a difference. But we tried.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, well, A for effort, Johnny. But yeah, not necessarily making any difference. And that's, but that raises an interesting point. So, because Pence, who's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like crazy fucking, I don't think you can get any more hardcore right-wing evangelical.
Well, do you hear what he said? Like, he doesn't go to a place where there's women in the room unless his wife's with them.
That's a whole other thing. Like, he won't have a lunch meeting with just women and stuff like that. It's like,
because he can't control himself. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
Does he like feel? Is he feeling like rapey all the time? Like, you know, it's like, I can't control.
Rapey much?
It's like, I'm feeling a little rapey. Better bring
my leash.
Exactly.
It's like, what the hell?
Or a
his Valium, his wife.
Exactly. I'm gonna need a chaperone. I'm gonna need a chaperone because I might just tear this woman's clothes off.
Or he thinks he's so desirable that they'll just throw themselves at him if his wife's not there.
You know what he looks like? He looks like an old archer.
Yes, a little bit, a little bit, a little more on the feminine side, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like John Oliver was talking about, he had a picture of Trump in his office with Pence and other people who have since been removed. Right. And as they're standing in the picture, they remove the people from the picture, and it's just a white blank space where he's standing there. So he goes, so that's President Trump and four white nothings. And Pence is there, so let's just go with five white nothings.
Exactly. Exactly. But it has to be hard. It has to be hard for them, these hardcore religious wingnuts, to reconcile, right? Because
that's what they're good at.
But think about the whole thing. Think about the whole thing, right? Married multiple times, multiple kids with different women, grab them by the pussy, all of this shit. And they, I mean, how much cotton can you stick in your fucking ears?
Yeah.
Or how far can you bury your head in the sand to have to, or the in tremendous leaps and bounds, like I'm talking about Olympic fucking pole vaulters of hoops to jump through to say, he's still our guy. Praise be to God.
But who else is better at reconciling things than these people?
Jesus.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, whether it's personal revelation or just sticking to your guns, I don't know what it exactly is to allow them to stand behind this
asshole.
He's not even human at this point. I mean,
yeah.
Good Lord. But And the way he he's so creepy when he talks about his daughter.
I know.
It's just disgusting.
It's like, dude, boundaries. Boundaries. You know, and it's hard because it's hard. And we're only talking about Ivanka, I guess. But Ivanka is not an unattractive woman. However, I think empirically she's not an unattractive woman. But when you hear her make excuses for her father, to me that uglies her up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she's not as hot when she's making excuses for that fuckwit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, personality counts for a huge portion. Like, you can have a woman that's not, like, turning your head gorgeous, but then she starts talking and she's got this great, you know, sense of humor and stance on in the world, and all of a sudden she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, smart is sexy.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Okay, so moving on to the next. So that was the first one. I found that very funny. That was one we didn't cover last week because I talked too much. So
the very first question that you posed, should they still be backing him?
Fuck no, of course not.
I think everybody who's anywhere near him should take 40 steps backwards and leave this fucker all by himself.
That's right, they'd be fucking floating in the Potomac. If they took that many steps backwards. But no, it's true. And it would be really, really interesting to see what would happen, right? They all kind of flood away. You know what would happen is even crazier, if you could imagine, people would step up. People like Kevin Swanson, Lance Wilnew, fucking Greg Locke.
Well, all these
some of these guys who are
these white nationalist fuckers that use him as, like, he's given us license to hate these groups of people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's normalized.
Those are the guys who are going to step up.
Yeah, he's normalized that. But no, if they had a backbone and if they actually, and this speaks to something we talked about last week, like, if you actually believed what you said you believe, and it makes me think, it's like, if you actually believed the things that you say you believe, and morality and all these other things, one, you wouldn't have voted for that fucker in the first place, and two, when he started doing this, all this shit, you would just back away and say, I'm sorry, but my moral compass will not allow me to continue to be involved with this dick.
Yeah. And when you know that he's just pandering to you, when he says like 2 Corinthians or whatever,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know the Bible. No. He's never read it. He doesn't care about what it says. He's not like he's not even. He has no idea about it. He's just doing it to placate you.
Absolutely.
And it's obvious.
Yep.
And they don't care.
Nope. They don't seem to. Okay, so let's move to one of our... I actually don't have anything from Christian Week magazine this week.
Blasphemy!
but I do have something from Christianity Today.
Even better.
I got a word for you. I tossed out, you know, superfluous and shit like that earlier.
Yeah,
Listen to this fucking word. America's top complementarian leaders have shifted their focus from gender roles to gender identity. Now... I had no, like, compliment. What the fuck is that?
Oh, is that the word?
That's the word.
I thought you meant roles.
Complementarianism.
Complement. Well, like, complementary?
No. It is a theological view held by some in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam that men and women are different but have complementary roles and responsibilities in marriage, family life, religious leadership, and elsewhere.
Oh, so they
it's
want
a made-up word.
They want, yeah, but they want clearly defined lines between what men do and what women do.
Yeah. Christopher Hitchens said something really interesting about this. He was talking about, you know, like the empowerment of women and stuff like that, about being the cure for poverty.
It totally is.
And what the interesting thing about it is, you take, and I was thinking about it, and it, I think it was after one of the times that I went through God is Not Great, but you take a society, like somewhere in the Middle East, or even some of these crazy right-wing Christian communities in the United States, right, where husband goes out to work, woman stays home, barefoot and pregnant, loaves of bread in the oven, kids at school, baking cookies, making dinner, doing laundry, all that other shit. Now, those are all important things, right?
Well, things except, that need to happen,
yeah,
except
I mean,
for the baking of cookies, but the rest of it needs to happen.
It's priorities, brother. but let's look at what that does. We are not in a time anymore when, unless you are in an extreme minority, where one spouse can stay home and be Molly Homemaker or Matthew Homemaker, depending on what you're doing. And the other one can go out and bring home the bacon, and then the other one cooks it, right?
There's not enough bacon to bring home with just one person.
So we're not there anymore. Now, that was okay 50, 60, whatever years ago, even maybe 40 years ago. Like, my mom and dad did it for a while. I have no fucking idea. Looking back, they had fucking 5 of us running around.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. But, okay, whatever. Off track. Now, you take all of the financial responsibility... You take 100% of the financial load and you put it on one person's shoulders.
Yeah.
Okay? It makes that person's job so much harder. You know, it's like if you have the ability to split it up, or even, you know, like, you know, the other person stays at home or has a part-time job or something like that, where you can share the burden a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, even taking the entire housekeeping and children rearing load and putting out on one set of shoulders, shoulders, I think that might be even worse.
Well, it is because I mean, I remember they did. There was a study a bunch of years ago that
kids are the fucking worst.
Kids are fucking awful. But that said, basically, if you have, if you were to pay a stay-at-home mother,
yeah, it would be like
It was like $150,000 a year.
Yeah, like taxi driver and all this and
all that other shit, right? Because they're, I mean, they work 24/7.
Yep.
Right.
You got no holidays.
Yeah, no holidays. Well, except, you know, when you can ship them off to, you know, grandma and grandpa's house.
Yeah.
Or you find, you know, a sitter or something like that.
But that's few and far between. That's not the norm. You don't get to go home at the end of the day and not think about it until the morning.
Yeah, that's not the norm for sure. Yeah, exactly. It's like when I leave work, I don't fucking think about work anymore.
Exactly.
I'm not thinking about work right now. Well, now I am. Thanks a lot. but, okay, so what they're really looking for here is they're trying to, you know, kind of stuff, you know, okay, so, you know, man,
yeah,
does this. Woman, does this. And that's just not that way anymore. Okay, but anyway.
Even they said, there was recently a study that said that women in the 60s and 70s spent less time with their children than women do today.
Oh, interesting.
So women, they still work, but they spend more time with their kids. So what suffers the house?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, but they're actually spending more time with their children today than they did back in the day when they were home all the time.
Yeah. So, on Tuesday, this was last week, the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, CBMW,
released... Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, yep. Wow, okay.
Released a new declaration that measures the significance of biological sex and traditional marriage over society's growing LGBT acceptance. And there it is.
Yeah.
You know, ring it up, because that's what they're talking about. They're talking about those differences. And, you know, it's like, okay, so man does this, woman does that. But if you've got, you know, Jack and Bob and Jill and Shirley,
yeah,
right? Or any other combination. Or, you know, or fuck. And if it's like a polyamorous type relationship, oh, well, then fuck it, all bets are off, right? oh, there's my wife. She's going to interrupt us. No, I'm not pausing it.
I warned you.
This is live.
Eat food.
My wife is bringing me food.
Look at that. What are we just talking about?
We're talking about roles and values. And
stuff. No, we're saying that, you know, the church is saying that women need to stay home and make the dinners. And the man goes ahead and earns some money. But you're the breadwinner in this household, aren't you?
Breadwinner and breadbaker.
That's right.
For today.
I'm a kept man. And
bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan.
I bought 6 pounds of bacon the other day because it was $3.99.
Anyway, come on, let's go. When you see a deal like that, call Meredith.
Oh, I didn't know she was a big bacon fanatic. Was it
Oh, come on. Who's not a bacon fanatic?
Come on, Finn.
All right.
We're not Jewish.
Thank you for the nice little...
Eat your food.
I will. I promise.
Eat.
I love you.
You make him eat.
You eat.
You can eat my leg. Eat the food.
I will.
Hey, Tina, eat the food.
Come on,
eat
come on.
Eat the food. Eat the food. God. Damn it. Eat the food. That's from Napoleon Dynamite. Oh, you've seen that, right?
God.
Idiot. Fine. Okay.
You have to be high to enjoy that movie, I'm pretty sure.
I fucking love that movie. I'll put it on sometimes, and Shannon will be coming out of the bathroom at night just getting ready to bed, and the fucking music starts playing, and she's like, fuck off! Not that fucking movie again. Because I'll do that. I'll watch a movie like 10 times in a row.
Like, yeah,
I'll put it on. I mean, because of course it takes me 9 seconds to fall asleep. So I'm sitting. I fall asleep when the credits are rolling, and she's reaching over and punching me in the face, and reaching for the remote to turn it off so she can go to sleep.
That's at night too. Like we're sitting there watching TV, and I'm like, let's just watch one more episode. This is what Meredith's like. Fine, okay. And then I'm falling asleep, and she's like, "You are the one who started to stay up and watch another episode."
Right, you will watch this motherfucker. All right. So this council, we are persuaded that faithfulness in our generation means declaring once again the true story of the world and our place in it.
Okay, whatever.
Okay. Now, what this is also talking about, so if you haven't figured it out by now, we're talking about the Nashville Statement that was released just a couple of weeks ago. And it's truly just a fucking crazy thing. So at the Southern Baptist Convention Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission,
wow,
blah, 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 National Conference in Nashville last week, it was endorsed by about 150 conservative Christian leaders. Well, there's a fucking shock that a whole bunch of conservative Christians would endorse this statement. But now, I don't know how long it took them to put this together, but so this Southern Baptist Convention, they put out the Nashville Statement like 2 weeks ago or something like that. The last time they put one out was like in 1960-something.
Mm.
So
and not much has changed, does
so
it?
So they work a lot in between. They work a lot in between. So the foundational document critiques feminist egalitarianism and women rising in church leadership and upholds vocational homemaking and wives' submission in marriage.
Of course. You got to keep them, women down.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have more respect for these assholes that say, you know, that say women should be silent in the church. Women cannot exude authority over a man. I have more respect for them because at least they say, look, man, look at the fucking Bible. Read the fucking Bible. That's what's in the fucking Bible.
This is where it's coming from.
Exactly. So I have more respect, even though it's fucking barbaric. I still have more respect for them to stick by their guns. I still think they're idiots, but I have more respect for those idiots because they don't try to smooth it over.
Yeah.
They don't try to have female pastors.
They take it all.
Exactly. They take it all.
Whole cloth, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it should be. They don't say, oh, I like this part, but I don't like that part.
Yeah. So the 2017 Nashville Statement, instead of outlining how genders should live in relation to one another, makes several points defending the existence of two genders in the first place. The CBNW upholds God's design for self-conception as male and female in the face of new conversations over transgender and transgenders in quotes, don't you know? Because that's not a thing. identity, gender fluidity, which is also, and homosexual relationships.
Well, it's pretty much evident now that gender is fluid. It's not necessarily fluid.
It's a spectrum.
But thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It's a spectrum. You fall somewhere on the spectrum. Just like all of us fall somewhere in the spectrum of autism.
Maybe continuum is a better word. Because you can actually, you can move along it a little bit through life. And that's true, I guess, just from people I've spoken to. So, but what I would love is if you're going to do this, just like, die with your boots on, right? Stop talking about a progressive church because you don't want that.
Yeah.
You want the women barefoot and pregnant. You want the fucking, you want the homos in air quote. You want them fucking killed or shipped off somewhere and all that other stuff. And you, that's what you want. So if that's what you want, just fucking say it. Don't try to hide behind some other bullshit. At least have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really interesting to see what these, like, it seems like these people are never happy unless they're complaining about something. So it'd be nice to know if everything was exactly as they wanted it, what would they find to complain about?
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be yelling at somebody because his lawn wasn't mowed properly or something like that.
Yeah. So, John Piper called the document, which contains 14 points, I'm not going to go through them, each affirming and denying a belief about sex and sexuality. He called it a Christian manifesto concerning issues of human sexuality. Okay? He says, quote, there is no effort to equivocate for the sake of a wider, but, and I hate this, muddied acceptance. That's, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. The new statement affirms that people with same-sex attraction, listen to this, you. The new statement affirms that people with same-sex attractions can have a rich and fruitful life pleasing God through faith in Jesus as they, like all Christians, walk in purity of life. But in another point, it critiques those who walk or who would self-identify as gay. So what they're really saying is, be miserable, but be a Christian.
Be a miserable, lying to yourself, living a lie kind of person.
And
in service of God.
Yeah.
Because Jesus hates what you think, what you really are.
Yeah. Christians who affirm, yeah.
It's part of God's plan.
Exactly.
God made you like that.
Who are you to question it?
God made you like the same sex, and then also wants you to live in denial.
No, that's the devil. You dirty heathen, you. Christians who affirm same-sex relationships have pushed back against this statement. Particularly a line that says approving of homosexuality and transgenderism, which I don't think is a word.
Transgenderism.
There, no. Everything's an ism, right? And it's and all these things are in quotes, right? Because it's not a thing. Constitutes an essential departure from Christian faithfulness and witness. Okay? In the words of the Baptist Press, no more agreeing to disagree on LGBT issues. The liturgists founded founded by a musician, Michael Gunger, whoever the fuck that is, and podcaster Science Mike McGargle, whoever the fuck that is, released a counterstatement in solidarity with LGBT Christians. What fucking Bible are you reading? And again, it's like if you can look at something and say, man, that's not right, why do you try to work your way around it? Why don't you just say, that's fucking crazy? Yeah. Maybe I should look at the rest of the book.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy. Look, there's something else that's crazy. Look, there's something else that's crazy. And you add up the crazies, and eventually you get to a point where you just chuck the whole fucking thing in the garbage.
Flush. Yep.
Because that doesn't matter how many, oh, that's a good point, that's a good point, that's a good point. If you've got a certain level of crazies,
yeah,
you chuck it out.
That's right. It's like Chris Rock. It's like, whatever happened to crazy? but it's true. It's that the whole thing is just so stupid, and it pisses me off so much. But I will say, and I'll continue to say, that at least the crazy fundies are sticking to their boots, and even though they're wrong and stupid and bigoted, they are at least standing.
They're adhering to their book.
Yeah, they're standing by. They're standing by their book. They're standing by their source book, their foundational document, and saying, "You're gonna burn in hell. You're bad. You're evil. You're the devil." Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, I have more respect for that. I wish they would change their mind and open their fucking eyes.
Yeah.
But I have more respect for that.
Okay, pause.
Pause. Yeah. What are we pausing for? Oh fuck! I'm gonna get told to eat a bite of my pizza. Hang on a second. And now, back from our commercial, I mean, me eating a piece of pizza. Okay, so here's a good one. From Phil, Jesus fuck, Heidenreich, online journalist from Global News.
Global News?
Global News.
That's local.
That's right. Well, Alberta. Alberta School Division severs ties with Christian school over Bible censorship dispute.
Ooh.
Yeah. We are deeply saddened by the BRSD's decision to terminate our agreement, Margell said in a statement Friday. It makes no sense if they truly desire to continue working together. It seems unwise and completely unnecessary to throw away years of productive cooperation in mere weeks because we simply hit an unusual bump in the road. So, what this story is about is there is... They want to take out the shitty stories in the Bible. They don't want to teach the shitty stories.
Yeah. And...
they don't want to teach the shitty stories.
I think that's a good idea.
I think they should teach the shitty stories.
What grades are we talking about here?
I don't know. And I was thinking about that too. It's like, do you really want to talk about the prophet, you know, Elijah... You know, calling down she bears and rending children to pieces to second graders. Maybe not. But do you want to be telling second graders that there was once this big boat and all the animals went on two by two and, you know, they were protected and God flooded the rest of the planet and stuff like that? Because it's like, I think you have to take the good with the bad.
Well, again, the story of Noah's Ark is also one of the bad stories because of all the people that died in the flood.
Sure. Yeah.
Are they going to gloss over the fact that they were right in the ark looking at people drowning?
What's a good Bible story? I can't think of one. I can't think of a good Bible story.
Yeah. I guess when Jesus comes back to life or something. I guess that's
after he was murdered.
Well, I'm saying after, right? Maybe. So now he's like, and then he ascends into heaven or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm grabbing at straws here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's difficult to do.
So, first, the BRSD which is the it's basically a school board, demanded censorship of offensive Bible verses. Then it attempted to impose confidentiality on the organization representing the CCA, or the Christian County Association, families. The lawyer, John Carpe, president of the foundation, said in a statement on Friday. So basically what they're trying to do is they just want to teach the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah.
And I say, fuck it. If you're going to read it, read it all.
And it's you're actually right, because it'll get people, it'll draw the children into believing, and they'll find out the bad stuff later on, but they'll still be in that, they'll be indoctrinated already at that point.
Yeah, probably.
They'll have the God and Jesus in place, so even if they learn about the bad shit, it's not going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were saying last night, they know people, like Sam Harris was saying that he knows people that have been atheists for 20 years, and they're still afraid of hell.
If I sit and think about it long enough, it scares the fuck out of me. It's like, it's not a pleasant thought.
Well, right? It's not a pleasant thought, but it's just a thought.
No, it's true. But I mean, it's you know, the whole idea of, you know, we've talked about it before, right? We've talked about the funny stuff where it's like, you know, what do you do with your 72 versions after 10,000 years?
Yeah.
But what are you doing when you're writhing in agony after 10,000 years?
Yeah.
When you know it hasn't even started yet.
Well, the thing is, like, it's sensory adaptation, right? If you sit long enough in a stinky room, it's not going to stink anymore. So they got to keep changing the agony.
Maybe. Well, it's funny, you know what the Quran says about hell?
What's that?
One of the things that the Quran says is basically, or I don't think it says it's the Quran, I think it's one of the hadith. So basically, you go to hell. You're tossed into the pit of fire. I don't even know what a pit of fire looks like. Because, I mean, maybe it's lava. I don't fucking know. They toss you in there. Burn the fuck, all the meat off your bones, everything else like that. God then lifts you out of the fire. You're made whole again to toss you back in.
So God is there.
Oh, yeah.
So where's Satan?
I don't know. But apparently, but it's funny, even Christians will say, like Saiten Brugenkate, is famous for saying God rules in hell.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Psy 10 is not
Satan rules in heaven?
I don't know. It sure seems like God and Satan are one and the same, if you think about some of the brutal fucking things.
Yeah, Satan's doing a comedy bit around the fire.
Yeah. Now, this next story is something that I'm thinking my lovely wife will have to, she may grin a little bit over this one. Okay. So this, from Erica Vella, digital broadcast journalist for Global News. Faith in Canada. Former Prime Minister Paul Martin discusses how religion influences leadership.
Oh, God.
Now, but this is interesting. Okay, so I have spoken about this before. And what one thing I wanted to say is, honestly, this is something, and I'm the first one to do this. I haven't done it much on the podcast because I haven't been wrong much on the podcast. But when I'm wrong, and you can ask Shannon this, when I'm wrong, I'm the first one to admit it. You know, I apologize. Like, if I make a mistake, I apologize. I don't wait. I'm like, I fucked up. I'm sorry. You know, I was wrong, and I admit it. I cop to it quickly because I think it's the easiest way to not get in one too much trouble. But also, to work your way through it, right?
Yeah.
Like Alanis Morissette says in the song, you know, the only way out is through.
Yeah.
So, you know, to try to get through the shit. So this is something I may have been wrong, but I'm very, very skeptical. Okay? Former Prime Minister Paul Martin was often described as a devout Catholic, and he admits to that. But he says he doesn't believe religion plays a great role in politics. The reason is quite simple, he says. The country's major religions are represented in all the major political parties, Martin told Global News. I'm wondering about non-believers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we are. He says, well, I'm certainly a practicing Catholic. There's no doubt about that, Martin said. But my decisions were based on what I believe was the right thing for the country. Now, here is a and because I have said, I've said to friends of mine, like with what's that fucking cuckoo's guy's name right now, the conservative guy who's running for premier of Ontario,
oh
Patrick Brown,
yeah,
woohoo, He scares the fuck out of me because he is like Pence Jr.
Yeah.
And I say Jr. only because I believe he's younger than Mike Pence is. I've said I could never vote for that guy, even if you put conservative aside, because I've never been able to reconcile voting conservative anyway. But even if you put that aside, I have a hard time believing, personally, that that man is going to be able to set aside his personal religious convictions and do what is right for what the majority of the country is. I can't bring myself to believe that he's going to say, I think deep down this is horribly wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway for the good of the country.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that. And friends that I've spoken to have said, no, that's what politicians do. They end up, they are forced, essentially, to govern from the center. I'm sorry, but I'm very skeptical of that point.
No,
I'm very skeptical.
You cannot say that Mike Pence being president would decide to fund Planned Parenthood.
Of course
because
not.
It's the best thing for
of
the country.
Now he does talk about how the differences between the Canada and the U.S. here, right? But so I'm incredibly skeptical of this, but here he is saying it in fucking black and white.
Like, that's Paul Martin saying that.
That's Paul Martin saying that.
Yeah.
Right, but Paul Martin, he says, the former liberal leader served time in office from 2003 to 2006 and voted for the legalization of same-sex marriage in 2005. So, and this is where I have to just say, well, he's saying one thing, I'm thinking something else, and he's doing something else.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, I might be wrong. Maybe he did have the ability. Or was there something else to it? I don't know. Did he cave to tremendous pressure? I don't know. But if he says, I'm a fucking Catholic, and I voted for same-sex marriage, well, what? Because...
But if he has that ability, if he can rule from the center, then, you know, good on him. I mean...
He says here, I thought deeply about it, and I came to a point where there was no doubt in my mind that it was the right decision. Now, the other possibility is he's just full of shit, right? And he's just saying whatever. It's like, who the fuck cares now? He's talking about stuff he did 10 plus years ago. How does it impact his life in any way? But if he's saying, like, I'm a devout Catholic and I thought it was the right thing to do, well, fuck.
Maybe he's not as devout as he thinks.
Maybe. Or maybe I'm wrong. But I doubt that. he says, Canada, Martin admits, is very different from the U.S. in how faith influences politics. And he talks about, you know, liberal versus conservative. We are two very different countries, he says. We approach things very differently. And that's true.
Yeah.
What you said a second ago about Pence, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. He would be the first one to, like, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to see someone like Mike Pence, someone with that set of beliefs, at a fucking Westboro Baptist protest,
yeah,
holding up a sign saying God hates fags.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the biggest stretch.
He would pull funding for Planned Parenthood. He would, you know, reverse all the strides that they made for gay rights and gay marriage.
Yeah.
He'd probably
sure.
probably want to stop selling marijuana in the states that have legalized it.
Yeah, Colorado and I forget the other ones. But yeah, for sure. So I may have been wrong about that.
You may have been.
Time will tell. But I admit when I'm wrong. Now, Erica is a busy lady, because she's got another one here. Erica Vella, digital broadcast journalist for Global News.
She's working.
All right. Toronto's C3 Church is attracting millennials to Christianity.
How?
For some millennials.
Offering them a scarf and a latte.
Exactly. For some millennials, Sundays are not about sleeping in or finding the best brunch spot in the city. Instead, it's a day where people come together and celebrate their faith in one of the hippest churches in Toronto.
Oh, God.
C3 is not your traditional Christian church. The pastor, 32-year-old Sam Picken, can be seen wearing black skinny jeans and a black t-shirt, and shows off his sleeve of tattoos. Contrary to Leviticus. I'd have to look up the verse, but it's in Leviticus where you can't do that.
Yeah.
Never read the Bible. The service starts out with a band. dressed Christian in everyday rock. Clothing, playing trendy music, making it feel more like a concert than a traditional church service. Pick and told Global News he tries to make the messages relevant to those attending the service. Quote, I think to myself, what would I like to go to? I think if Jesus were alive today, he would be wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Taking selfies.
Yep. He would look like you and he would look like me, just walking around the streets and hanging out and living in our society.
Yeah.
Living in our culture.
Flip-flops and...
Yeah, for sure. Pickens said he interprets... This is the kicker. Pickens said he interprets the values and messages of the Bible into the present to make them more relevant to the churchgoers. No, I call bullshit on that. He does that to make it more palatable.
Exactly.
For the churchgoers.
Yeah.
He is doing the same thing. He would be one of the people saying, I want to edit out these verses in the Bible. He would want to... Don't talk about that stuff. No, I don't know that. But
well, you know what he's doing?
What's he doing?
He's doing the same thing that they did 2,000 years ago when they were trying to turn pagans to Christianity. They put Jesus' birthday on December 25th, yeah. So it was close to the winter solstice. They made Sunday the sun god worship day, the Sabbath. They made, you know, Sunday's supposed to be his day of rest when it's not.
It's actually Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they changed the minute details to make it more palatable to the pagans. Now he's changing little minute details to make it more palatable to the millennials.
Exactly.
Trying to build up the numbers again.
And it's working.
Sadly. Hopefully not.
Oh, no. Attendance has grown since it started in Toronto nearly 4 years ago. The congregation began with 8 people. That's a good number. I could handle 8 people.
Yeah.
And now sees more than 1,000 people attend services each Sunday.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, you have to check the sources on that too.
The C3
that seems like a lot. 1,000 people. Well, I guess they're including their online numbers.
I don't think. Well, yeah, who knows? But now I don't think it's 1,000 people at one time, right? But a church typically does.
You said two, every Sunday.
Yeah, but a church typically does 2 or 3 services a Sunday, right? They do 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then something else. So it means maybe
how big is the space they're doing?
3, 3, and 4.
But how big is the space that they're doing this in?
I don't know.
Real estate prices in Toronto are quite high.
I don't think they're getting 1,000 people 3 times on Sunday.
No.
I think 1,000 people are going over the course of a Sunday during these 3 or 4 or whatever get-togethers.
I want to know is how big of a place are they bringing their message to, and they couldn't afford that place with 8 members 4 years ago.
I don't know.
Right? Unless they slowly grew. Put on your investigative
journalist hat and go find out. And get back to us with the research on that.
Because there's not a lot of space in Toronto, and
real it's at
estate,
a premium, too.
Real estate prices are through the roof.
It's at a premium for sure. The C3 Church was founded in Sydney, Australia over 35 years ago by Phil and Chris Pringle.
Like the chip people?
I don't know. Can't eat just one. That'd be the thing for the little slogan for the crackers, eh? Only one. You can't eat just one.
You can only eat just one.
Exactly.
And it's chock full of gluten.
Exactly. GMO free, but chock full of gluten. No, I have a hard time. I think that it's like, oh, we're trying to make it more relevant. No, you're not trying to make it more relevant. Now, there could be something said for trying to take a book written, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago by a bunch of, you know, people in 3 different languages and put together. And trying to make it more relevant for today, for the day and age.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're also finding it being glossed over a lot. They're not talking about... Because something like that, I think you would see members of the LGBT community wanting to be welcomed into that.
Yeah.
Well, they have to. I would walk in with a fucking banner of Leviticus 20:13.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have to be basically not talking about stoning people. Because we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And
good.
You know, I don't know if they're going to be saying that, you know, Jesus was like a blogger or something. I mean, how do you equate that, like a Bronze Age text, to today's world? It's the
Bible. Basic instruction before leaving Earth.
Yes.
Fucking bullshit. Well,
but it's not. It's because we've left Earth. We've gone to the moon. And I'm pretty sure that everybody that was on that shuttle didn't take a whole lot of the Bible into account.
I hope not.
No, the scientists certainly didn't. The Air Force pilots might have, but
yeah. Well, Rebecca Joseph, another columnist with Global, has a it's a good story and a bad story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Religion increasingly seen as doing more harm than good in Canada. And this is according to an Ipsos poll.
Of course it has. You can't deny that it has done more harm than good.
It's not a great story. Just over half of Canadian respondents say they believe religion does more harm than good in the world. This is according to this Ipsos poll. It's conducted by Global News. Showed that 51% of respondents agreed with the above statement, that religion, in fact, does more harm than good. Did you ever
only 51?
Yeah. Did you ever see, that's what I mean, it's not great. Yeah. And we'll get to more not great. Did you ever see the debate with Christopher Hitchens, Stephen Fry, the political wingnut from Great Britain, Anne Widdecombe, she's like a parliamentarian, and... oh, fuck. Bishop John Oniakin from Abuja.
Perhaps. I've seen a lot of things.
The question, the focus of that debate was, is the Catholic Church a force for good in the world?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything more about it. Go look it up on YouTube. You can see the whole thing it's about.
I'm pretty sure I have seen that.
It's close to 2 hours long, and it's fucking amazing. And that might be Hitchens at his absolute best.
Yeah.
At his most eloquently rhetorical, like just like his ability to eviscerate. Just
yeah.
To eviscerate his opponents. Fucking brilliant. Go watch that video. There's a lot happening in the world right now in the name of religion, says Sean Simpson, vice president of Ipsos Affairs. Of course, ISIL being the primary example of what religion is doing, and using religion to justify what they're doing. Simpson explained that the number is rising. When Ipsos asked the same, listen to this. When Ipsos asked the same question in 2011, only 44% of the respondents agreed. So we were in 2011. 44% thought more harm than good. Now 51%.
Right.
But what he's saying is basically, you know, look, there's all this shit going on, some of it, you know, around Islam and stuff like that. So, and because it's so much in your face, 24-hour news, everywhere you turn, news, bomb, 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 boom, boom, boom. That's not hard to see why. But tied right to that was a little, basically, the Global News, and I'm flashing something, you'll all be able to see very clearly on a podcast. It's called The Faith in Canada Religious Study, and it's by Global News. So, within Canada, Dean, how do you think the different kinds of religions stack up percentage-wise?
Well, you got Christianity at the top.
Okay, no, it's not.
Oh, okay. Judaism, no.
Nope.
That's got to be pretty far down there. It's not Islam.
Catholicism.
Oh, okay.
Catholicism at 38%.
Forgot about the Catholics.
Catholicism at 38%.
So Catholicism, then Christianity.
Then Protestant or other Christianity at 32%.
Okay.
What do you think about Judaism? We talked about this before, a little bit.
Is it next on the list?
It's not for number, but it's next on the list. 1%.
What? No way.
Yep. 1%.
There's Hasidim walking around downtown with the...
Yep. Muslim?
Yeah. That's got to be next.
2%.
Really?
Yep. Sikh?
Another 1%.
1%. Hindu?
1%.
1%. Buddhist?
Less than 1%.
Well, it shows 1%. Now, this is kind of vague. Other. So, in this, I'm going to toss Wiccan.
Yep.
and everything, all your little chakra shitty things and all that stuff like that.
Taoism and and Thor and
8%
Zeus. 8%.
Yeah.
Does that add up to 100? What about non-believers?
No, hang on, we're not there yet.
All right.
So other is more than Buddhist, Hindu, Sikh, Muslim, and Jewish combined. So other 8%. Agnostic.
Okay, so say the numbers again. We've got Catholicism at 38. Okay.
38, 32.
38 and 32. So that's a big chunk right there. That's like over
60%.
Yeah. It's 70%. Yeah, exactly 70%. And then
Dean's a math major.
I never said I was good at math. Okay, so that's 70%. And then we've got
eight and a bunch of ones. I don't want you to do all the fucking math.
Okay, so we're gonna say agnostics is like 4.
It's exactly 4%.
Look at that.
It's exactly 4%.
I'm not good at math, but I guess good.
Yeah. Atheist.
3?
6%.
No way.
Yep. 6%.
Yay.
And now here's the one. Fucking spiritual.
I would hope to say 1 for that as well.
Mm. It's more than Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, and Hindu combined. 6%.
6%.
I'm not religious. I'm spiritual.
Yeah. These people don't know shit or get off the pot.
Okay. Now here are some startling statistics of the people that were polled.
How many were polled, did they say?
There's an asterisk here and it says you can check the website. I'll do that for next time. Of the people polled, and this is related to the Ipsos poll, right?
So yeah.
They don't give their number. 70% were raised Christian. Okay.
Okay.
48 still identify as Christian. That is a good number.
So 48 of the 70%. Less than half of the 70% still identify as Christian.
That's right. Now, in 2011, 9% of the population described themselves as Jewish, Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, or Buddhist.
Okay.
Okay.
And now it's 6?
And now it's 6. Okay. So I don't know where those other people are going, but they're not going to atheism or agnosticism. Because in 2011, 24% of people polled described themselves as atheist or agnostic.
Oh, wow.
And now it's 19%.
So what the fuck?
Yeah. So
we're losing, man.
Here's another reason why we do what we do.
Well, okay. This is 2011. That was 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
That was... could it be... So there's less Judaism and Hinduism and...
So where are they going?
Muslim and all that.
That's the one thing that isn't listed on here is Islam. So did some of them go to Islam? Like, for example, our next door neighbor, right?
Yeah.
I told you this before. The wife and the mother converted to Islam.
Yeah.
She was raised Catholic.
Hmm.
So that's an interesting number.
Yeah, it all depends on where they did this study and how many, like what their sample size was. There's all this stuff, right? Because probably about a decade or more ago, there was another study that was put out. I didn't actually see the study. Somebody told me about this, so I don't know how true it is. But they were saying that 54% of Canadians think the sun goes around the earth.
Oh, no.
So... Exactly. Who did you ask? Do you go out to butt fuck nowhere and ask 10 people? You know, so. Yeah.
Here's hoping they didn't do that. Oh, we did.
But that can't be true. If you walk around Toronto and just throw a rock and ask the person who that rock hits.
Don't throw rocks walking through downtown
they're
Toronto.
They're going to say.
The CA does not endorse the throwing of rocks in downtown Toronto or any other metropolitan city. Or town or county.
Hey, we've got
don't just go fucking whipping rocks, dude. Hang on, I want to see what I can hit. Hey, you. Patunk. What the fuck, dude?
The sun goes around the earth. Of course it does. Hello, Tweety Bird.
Exactly. Where are those birds coming from? And why is there a big dent in my skull? Jesus fuck.
Okay, pebbles. How about pebbles?
Okay.
Or a handful of gravel.
Look, gravel. Frankly. It's like, it's, just don't look at the people. They do it, fucking throw it in their eyes. You're blinding people. Jesus Christ.
Hey, we've got a disclaimer before and after this show. Don't listen to two guys on a podcast.
Technically, don't take advice. That's right. That's a good point. We do put a disclaimer. Don't listen to us. What the fuck do we know? Jesus Christ. Okay, that's an hour. I'm done.
I have not thrown rocks while walking around downtown Toronto. I do work there, so I have to be careful.
Oh, yeah, okay. Exactly. The next rock is like, hey, man, you were okay with it. You had it coming.
No, you see, I asked the question first. If they think the sun goes around the earth, then I do throw a rock at them.
That's right. Hey. Hey. Tell us how the solar system works. Wrong.
Well, the amount of people that were out looking at the eclipse that happened just a while ago. I mean, that right there. I mean, it's unfortunate how many people were like, it's both good and bad that a lot of people were out to look at it and they thought it was amazing and it was great. And it really was amazing. It was thrilling to see. Mm-hmm. But the amount of people who don't know anything about it, like they understand that they understand the sun, the moon's passing in front of the sun, but it's just that they seem so
ignorant.
Yeah.
That's why we do what we do, brother.
Yeah. Like people were even asking, like my boss's sister got online afterwards and said, so is that a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse?
Oh, Jesus fuck.
Right? I mean, like, come on.
I got dumber just hearing that.
Then Meredith was saying it's a valid question.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. No. She goes, is it the thing that's doing the eclipsing? And I said, no, it's a solar eclipse. The sun was eclipsed.
Yeah.
It's not a lunar eclipse, because then when there was an actual lunar eclipse, it would be an Earth eclipse.
Yeah.
Because the Earth is eclipsing the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is actually really cool, too. Did you see? Oh, you didn't see that, because I was up at fucking 0 o'clock this morning. The little fucking sliver of moon that was visible.
Oh, really?
It was the tiniest of slivers. It was so dark, right? Because you didn't have the reflective light from the moon, because it was so dark this morning.
Yeah.
It was a tiny little sliver. But that's what happens at, 3:30 in the fucking morning. All right, I'm going to bed now.
All right.
So that's an hour and 2 minutes. I think that's enough trouble for us to get into. And I stopped making sense hours ago.
At some point during the day.
Hours ago, I stopped making sense. So...
never make sense. That's my theory. Just don't make sense ever, and then people won't know when you're tired.
That's right. You started depressed. Everything's a pleasant surprise.
Exactly.
So, all right. We didn't do a fallacy this week.
That's all right.
I didn't look one up. Next week, and we'll do.
That whole thing out with all the fallacies on it?
Yeah. You got it here. There's some of your paperwork there.
Oh, that's. Oh, okay.
That's yours.
Look at that. Anyway,
we'll do one next week.
Yep.
And we'll do a shitty Christian apologetic. So, all right. So, thanks for listening, everybody. And, I didn't do the, I didn't get the analytics for last week.
That's okay.
I'll have to look that up.
I'll call you tomorrow and tell you to get it.
I'm, okay, done. All right. So, until next week, I have been Michael.
And I have been Dean.
And we will see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.